CBSi in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Immediately to Italy. The climate. The reports this year are not the drought of last year. However, I welcome Lorenzo Fiore, the executive director of the Ansaldo Foundation, reporting on northern Italy and the pattern of weather prediction. We've had drought. We've had floods. The Po River Valley is reported to be returning to normal. However, Lorenzo, a very good day to you. What can we say about the heat wave this summer in Italy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening to all the radio listeners. Well, let me tell you that all the media this morning opened their news report about the possibility that next week we will be a very, very, very hot wave. Again, the anticyclone from Africa should invade the Mediterranean area, and the temperature in the islands of Sicily and Sardinia in Italy are projected to reach even up to 47 Celsius degree, which is almost 116 Fahrenheit. I mean, these are unusual temperature, at least for my memory. Although last year we faced for a very long period of time temperature close to 40 degrees. So 47 is something unbelievable.
Connected to the climate, of course, is the question of the future and climate change. We do have this from the Italian government. Italian's energy minister has ordered a halt to electricity production from fuel oil and the restrictions of coal-fired power generation to a minimum as the country scales back emergency measures implemented last year to tackle the energy crisis. There's good news in here. And the good news is that the crisis that we projected for several years because of the Russian invasion of Ukraine seems to be abating. Is there more confidence that energy sources will remain stable over these next years, Lorenzo?
Well, let me tell you that this is a good move from our government, but let me tell you to be a bit critical against my country, which is a country that normally likes to say no to everything that introduces, let's say, the modernity, innovation, and particularly we need innovation in energy supply. Don't forget that Italy is a country of a lot of sunshine, and with the climate change, we have even more sunshine than before. And so solar panels are very important, but we have also wind, and we could do more with the wind. But very likely, when there is a decision to install a new infrastructure, particularly wind, renewable energy infrastructure, very likely the local people prefer to say no. And I think that in the future, we need also to rethink about the strategy regarding the use of nuclear energy, which in my opinion is the only solution that really can provide the need of energy supply that is needed. Also to tackle the high temperature, everybody wants to have air conditioning. Nobody is prepared to give up to air conditioning.
The future of Italy at hand, and we have statistics you provided to me about the age of the population of Italy. We've talked over the weeks about how Italy wants people to have more babies. However, at the same time, Italy has to be setting records, the number of people who are over 100 years. Do you know people who are over 100, Lorenzo?
Well, I have people that are above 100 years old. In my club, for example, we have two that are above 100 years old. I have friends that have relatives with parents or grandparents above 100 years old. Well, let's say this is unfortunately a very controversial aspect of my country. From one side, we have the lowest birth rate ever seen since the time the Kingdom of Italy was put together by Vittorio Emanuele II, and the matter that the aging of the Italian population is dramatic because we are navigating close to 47 years old in terms of average age, and we have reached the peak ever reached before with the 22,000 Italian citizens that are more than 100 years old. Not good, in my opinion. Particularly thinking about the economy that is doing very well. The Italian statistics report are saying that our economy is doing very, very well and the export is growing. So this is not a bad situation under this point of view. It's a very good situation. But on the other side, in projection, it's not a very interesting trend. I would say the opposite.
The yachts, the oligarchs, the Russians, a big story a year ago, and I lost track of it. We talked about big yachts who were mysteriously tied up at Italian ports, and then they move, and then they're tied up again. There's a new report that Italy has been watching those Russian assets very carefully. This is the Times of London. Italy seizes 2 billion euros. That's about 2.5 billion, I believe, U.S. dollars in Russian assets as oligarchs are frozen out. Rome seized the assets under EU sanctions against Moscow in response to the invasion of Ukraine. Is this a popular thing in Italy? Do people talk about it, that those great big yachts are now in the possession of the Italian government?
Not very much nowadays. Let me tell you that this was something very, very discussed sometimes ago when the Italian government, the Italian authorities started to introduce the sanction and confiscate the assets, yacht, villas to Russian oligarchs. Right now, there isn't very much echoes on the media about it. But what I can tell you is that Italy is said to be the second European countries having more investment by the Russian oligarchs after UK. And in my opinion, it's interesting also to say that our Guardia di Finanza, which is the police that normally do such kind of intervention on behalf of the magistrates, even confiscated a lot of cash that was in the Italian bank system. But it's not so popular.
Amerigo Vespucci, a very famous name here in America because we're named for Amerigo Vespucci, goes the legend. However, Amerigo Vespucci is another yacht that won't be seized. It's a great big training ship setting sail from Genoa. The Amerigo Vespucci, have you seen it? Where's it going, Lorenzo?
Well, I'm very proud that you mentioned Amerigo Vespucci. I'm right now in Genoa, and Amerigo Vespucci left Genoa just less than 1 week ago for a worldwide tour after the pandemic stopped the worldwide tour that normally Amerigo Vespucci has a training ship for all the Italian military people from the Navy are used to do. They are going to go all around, and their mission is not only to train the personnel, but also to, let's say, promote Italian culture, all the Italian values, and the made in Italy. They are going to touch in their 20 or 24, I don't remember, but in any case, close to 2 years, a tour around the world before coming back to Italy, almost 50 different port and harbors all around the world. It's an important mission, very much supported by the Italian government. The ceremony was attended by five different ministers and all the top ranking of the military staff. Very emotional because even the U.S. Navy are always saying that Amerigo Vespucci is the most beautiful ship in the world.
Lorenzo Fiore is the executive director of the Ansaldo Foundation. There are 22,000. Must be the beauty of the land. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.